Okay, Wednesday 7/23/25. How Faith Works, Part 2. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. All right, we looked at Sunday morning about how faith works. It's not a list of confessions unless the Holy Spirit says confess these things over certain situations. God in the beginning said light, said to the darkness, and he said light be after his spirit meditated over the situation. This is the same principle we're to use to get results that God got in the beginning. It may sound good and seem right, but works of the flesh will yield no fruit, and you will just expect discouragement. When you do it God's way, it is a no fail. Okay, we're going to go over to Galatians chapter 5.
Your Bible was already in chapter 5.
Okay. Starting verse 1 there. Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. See, circumcision was under the law. Now, in Christ Jesus, there is no circumcision and uncircumcision. It's considered now just a work of the flesh. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. That is, if you're doing the works of the law. Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law. You're fallen from grace. In other words, you can't have it both ways. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you. You know what? When you got a church that all they do is works, you have zero productivity. You're just an institution just doing stuff. No different than any agency out there doing stuff if you're not following the Spirit. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whoever he be. In other words, there were these people going around trying to pull off the people. One place says they come to spy out the freedom we have in Christ Jesus. They come in to try to undermine things. That's why he's saying a little leaven will leaven the whole lump if you don't take care of it. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased? I would that they were even cut off which trouble you. This is speak with forked tongue. The body of Christ should be as one, saying the same thing, doing the same thing, following the Spirit. For brethren, you've been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so they cannot do the things that you would. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Works of the flesh never will. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another and envying one another. We're to operate like a body. I want to touch on a word today. The word is doubt. When Jesus arrived on the scene, he began to operate just like Father. It astounded his disciples and all who witnessed it. We'd never seen anything like this before. He was doing the works of the Father. John chapter 2. And you're all familiar with this story, but we're going to read it. And the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. In other words, mother, I don't have anything. We don't just do works here. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he said unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom and saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth the good wine. And when men have well drunk, then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. Jesus could do nothing of himself. He tells you in the Word. He doesn't do that. It was the Father in him. Let's keep going, looking at some more scriptures. Mark 11. I'm going to start with 11. Mark 11, 11. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem, into the temple, and when he had looked round about upon all things, and now the eventide was come, he went out into Bethany with the 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. Let me just stop here for a minute. Jesus probably went into the temple a lot. Why did he not run them out with the cord? Because there was always a selling. They were always merchandising in the temple. Why didn't he, every time he went in there, clean them all out? He didn't have clearance to do so until one time. And seeing a fig tree far off, having leaves, he came, if happily he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter, forever. And his disciples heard it. They come to Jerusalem, and Jesus went to the temple, began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. Why didn't he do it before? He didn't have the clearance to do it before. And would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, it is not written, my house shall be called of all nations a house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. The scribes and chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him because all the people was astonished at his doctrine. What was that doctrine? He followed the Spirit. And when even was come, he went out of the city. In the morning as they passed, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. Verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Doubt here means to withdraw from or hesitate. I think that's the flesh. Because when you got a word from God, there ain't no anything to stop you from doing what you received and expecting it to come to pass. That's what happened in Jesus' case. He wasn't just the one that, of course, he was the Son of God, but he wasn't the one that he could do all the miracles and stuff, but then we struggle and we don't seem to get anything done because we can't. We just go and say all the words he said and try to do what he did and nothing ever happens. Our track record isn't very good. I can't name one miracle that I ever saw in any church I've ever been in decades and decades and decades. Not that I can remember. Well, you know what? We must not be doing it like Jesus was doing it. Isaiah 40, I read this Sunday, or I quoted it, I think. Okay, Isaiah 40. He giveth power to the faint, to them that have no might he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. So, you got to wait for it. If you haven't waited, if you haven't gotten what you're supposed to do, then you don't do anything. You wait. Okay. 1 Timothy 2:8. We can have confidence in God, especially when we come to Him and wait upon Him about seeking first the kingdom of God. He said, if we'd seek first the kingdom of God, then all these things should be added to you. Well, how come? Because you got what you needed to be able to do whatever you need to do. 1 Timothy 2:8. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. We'll read Joshua 1:8 again. This is what I read Sunday about meditating the Word. We have done so many works for so long and saw no results. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. Now we know with Joshua, the reason he went in and took Jericho is because the captain of the army, the heavenly army, came and gave him the battle plan. Showed him what to do, and he was a success. He didn't just try to get with his generals and try to make up some battle plan. How'd that work out when they sent the spies? It didn't, did it? All right, meditate means to murmur, ponder, or imagine. Okay. John. This is John 14. I tell you, it makes you not want to do anything. If you're not clear, you don't hear, you don't do nothing. And there's no disgrace in that. I'd rather the Lord say, well, you didn't do many things, but what you did do, you heard from me. Well done. Well, Lord, look at all these many mighty works I've done. In your flesh, I ain't going to get any recognition. It's going to be all burned up. 14:10. Believest thou not that I'm in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. He didn't even speak his own words. But the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I'm in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So Jesus is telling you right here, I'm not doing the works. While they're out there doing their stuff, he is up in the mountain praying. And he was getting the word from the Lord on what he was supposed to do, and then he just acted it out. Kind of like Brother Hagin talking about his camp meeting. The Lord showed him several instances that were going to happen. He saw it in the spirit first, and he just got up and acted it out. That's what Jesus did. When you wait and get the instruction from the Holy Spirit, then doubt will no longer pressure you because it isn't you doing the works. It takes the pressure off of you to perform. Because when you got a room full of people and you pray for somebody and they're in dire straits and nothing happens, well, they must not be of God. But if you're following the Spirit, if you're doing what the word of the Lord said to you to do, you're going to see something happen. It's the Father in you, just like it was the Father in Jesus. Hebrews 10. You don't have to struggle to be a Christian. Now, the warfare's not fun. But sometimes it seems like all you do is wait. Isn't that what it's really about? It's waiting on getting the answer to things. Hebrews 10:35. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, that you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. If any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. The drawback is moving in the flesh. Drawing back is like running for the foxhole when the giant shows up. That's a drawback. They didn't have nothing. Here come little old David. God did a miracle through David. I'm sorry to say that most do just the opposite. They wait and they don't get the answer, and so they allow pressure to cause them to do just what they think is best. I'd say 99.99999% of Christians that I've known do just exactly that. Oh, how Father is going to be able to use us for his greatness, just like Jesus, when we wait on him. Get his instructions. Do what he says. Because he does all the work. And when he does the work, and it works. That's when the miraculous shows up. That was what was so different about Jesus. He brought Father's way. He's called the way. This should cause you to breathe a sigh of relief that you don't have that burden and responsibility on you to do anything. All you got to say is, I'm awaiting on the Lord. And when I hear from the Lord, I'll give you something. But if I don't hear nothing, you ain't getting nothing. It is called the rest of God. The burden of responsibility to perform is not on you, but on God. He wants to do the works. He wants to shine through you. Hebrews 3. Starting with 7 there. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if ye will hear his voice. Harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation, in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, saw my works 40 years. Therefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. He's not asking you to do anything but wait on him and hear him. He'll give you the instructions. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. Don't step out independent. Don't step out early. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. What'd they do? We want to go back to Egypt. After all the miracles God did for them to deliver them and bring them out, laden with silver and gold, the clothes didn't wear out. Not a weak and sick one among them. You would have thought all those things would have convinced them, but it didn't. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? He couldn't do anything for them. They wouldn't listen to him. And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. They didn't believe God was able, even though they had seen him do it. Let's keep going here. 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain grace, mercy, and find grace to help in time of need. You never have to doubt again if you do it the right way and wait on the Lord and get clear instructions and obey. Father does all the work and you remain at rest. One more scripture. This is John chapter 20. How many times have we done it our own way and it's just a mess? Start with 19 here. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. When he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. How many times have you heard that when you said something, a truth from God that God has showed you, and somebody says, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. Too many times. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Well, you know, they don't have too much to talk about because they didn't believe Mary. They didn't believe the women that had seen the angel at the tomb. Then said he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless but believing. And Thomas answered and said, unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Remove doubt and you can have a victory shout. You know what? He's done it all for us. He wants us to enter into the rest of God. He'll give you the download when you need it for whatever it is. But the thing is, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Doesn't mean those that wait a little while and then do whatever they think. No, they don't qualify. We're going to get to where we don't do a whole lot, except we wait on the Lord. And whatever He says to us, just like Jesus, we're going to do it. Mm-hmm.